the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in Him. Christ is the way. Christ is the way that the Lord has made. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice.
Setting Last days, purified as gold. And Lord, indeed it will be a miracle, and that's because it's a miracle, that is why you will get all the praise and all the glory and the honor. But Lord, we know also that until then we still live in this world, and this world is fallen, and most of our trials and what we go through is because of a fallen world. But Lord, we pray your mercy in this time. Father, we know that nations, governments, many of them are corrupt in rebellion. Father, there's so much injustice, oppression to the poor. But Lord, one day you will release groaning creation because it groans, and we're hearing more and more the groans, the travail, the pain. And Lord, we thank you that we are on the brink of transformation, of breakthrough.
Yes.
Father, there is an order that's coming in through man, the Antichrist. But one day that will be finally overthrown. And you will come to rule and to reign. And you will bring peace blessing and prosperity upon the earth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to pray your kingdom. But Lord, you are establishing and working your kingdom first in the midst of your people. Because the doorway into the kingdom is set within the body of Christ. And this is why we are praying and believing that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But before it will finally be established and seen upon the earth, it first has to be restored in the body of Christ. And that is why we're under the times of restoration, being restored, being brought back under divine order. But Lord, you know that you are dealing in the natural with a rebellious people. Because Lord, to be brought back under divine order is not easy. It requires deliverance, faith. And on your side, Father, much, much patience and long-suffering. But you have decreed that what you have spoken into being will come forth to glorify your name. And we are here today because we are the redeemed, your peculiar treasure. And so, Lord, we do thank you for this. We thank you, Father, that it's not by might, it's not by power, it is by your Spirit. And Lord, we are preserved and kept by the power of the Spirit of God until the day of salvation. And Lord, we thank you today. And so, Father, we believe that we are in for a blessing. The reason being is because your presence is with us and amongst us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Lift up hands to the King of Kings. Praise Him in everything. I want to worship the Lord. To know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing, serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you. I want to serve you more. I want to serve you more. The greatest thing in all my life is serving you, is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more.
Father, your word that we receive, not in the mind, the intellect, but in the spirit, in the heart, lives as you live. And you said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. And we praise and thank you, Father. And Lord, I thank you for the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding through this word today, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm calling this teaching today, it is God's purpose that the Christian prospers. It is God's purpose that the Christian, the believer, prospers. And our idea of prospering or prosperity can vary. And there is a right scriptural biblical understanding of prospering, and there's also a wrong understanding. And if we base our prospering from the self point of view, what I, me, can get out of it, you will not prosper. It certainly won't be the prosperity that the Bible teaches. And this is why we've seen a lot of this that has gone wrong. And of course, when I teach on prosperity, I teach with a double guard, because I've seen so much of this go wrong. And I have seen under trial, or when things don't turn out, how that the word has been used, but being used misappropriately, in the wrong place, in the wrong context. So we need to really hear doubly. Now, one of the things that is so often used in 3 John 1, which says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with greeting saints in such a way, because it's God's desire and heart that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So that is the Father's heart, that is his thinking. And that too should be our heart and our desire. Even our worst enemies, we should never ever desire or curse them into hell. And yet I've heard this go on in the past. So it's never in God's heart that any should perish. But God is ever working with us, that we precisely do not perish. So the opening here, the greeting in this small epistle is, "Beloved," we are the beloved, "I pray," that's the prayer, the intercession, the heart's desire, "that you may prosper in all things." And that's why we can't get away from that, because it's prospering in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So when we start to think of all things, we think about what is contained, what is in the Word of God. So that you are prospering in body, soul, spirit. It is the whole person prospering. Now, very often God begins to show us where true prospering, blessing, starts, and that is firstly with the spiritual. So if we are to be blessed in all things, God has to start first with the right things. And where does he start? In the inner man. He starts with the heart. And in order to do that spiritual work on the heart, he has to bring you into the right surroundings, the right environment, the right postures, right ministry, in order to do that inner work first. Otherwise, it will never happen. And so we have seen a wrong teaching of prosperity today, because it has emphasized prosperity in the flesh. And when you start to emphasize prosperity in the flesh, you are simply catering to the selfish life. And that's why it goes wrong. But he says here, I desire that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So there is a divine health in this prospering that God works. And as he works blessing into the inner man, into the heart, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, what eventually is healed, restored, made right in the heart has to eventually come out into the body. You will even find that psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you that your body is affected by your mind and by your thinking. If you think too long in depression, your body picks up that depression. Our faces are the first thing that will tell us what is going on inside.
That's right. Yes.
We are well able to express what we feel inside, and it will first and foremost come out in the facial expression. I'm talking now with the believer. You see it in the world as well. And if that isn't dealt with, if we are not drawing from God, walking in covenant, in fellowship with him, in time, that depression will start to take hold and will start to become a spiritual matter. And in time, then, not only will that depression be not only seen on the face, but it will start to be read and seen in the eyes. Now, for the Christian, yes, we can go through trials, through tests, and yes, if we're in pain, that pain can be expressed facially. What it shouldn't be for the believer is that where there is depression, oppression, that in the believer it is started to be seen in the eyes. That is where there's the problems. Because oppression, demonic oppression, will always express and reveal itself eventually through the eyes. When there is something there. And then that means there's deliverance. And we know that the word of God is delivering us. It is setting us free. That is why I say that 9 times out of 10, your trial, what you are going through, your need, whatever, is in the word of God that we receive week after week. It is there in that. That is what sets you free.
Amen.
It is that anointed word, and not ministered by the unction of the Spirit. And so he's saying here, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. So he's talking really here of the whole being, mind, body, spirit, prospering. And as I said at the introduction of this, we can only start to prosper spiritually, or in other words, flourish spiritually, is when we are brought into the right environment. This is why the family circle is so paramount into the development of children and how they're going to live in the future. At those tender age, when children are brought up, certainly within the first 6-7 years, that is the six, 7 years that is moulding, developing that child to what sort of future he or she is going to have. And this is why, of course, the powers of darkness are attacking the family life. Because the demonic forces, when they can oppress and get hold of family lives, and when children come along and they are brought up in turmoil, in oppression, in an unloving environment, and so on, then that affects them for the future. How do we know? The world tells us, society tells us. You don't have to search for this, you see it. And that is why the enemy attacks the family life. And he does exactly the same. He tries to attack the body of Christ. I'm talking about the true body of Christ. He will at times try to attack it because this is God's family. This is where you are brought in and this is where you are delivered. You are restored. Whatever's happened to you in the past, whatever damages in your life, this is where you're delivered and set free. Little wonder he attacks it. This is what it's all about. Because it's what God has decreed. And so, of course, we bind in time the words dealing with areas of my life, things coming to the surface and so on. And God is healing us, delivering us. And that's why he can confidently write this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." God's brought us in fundamentally to restore us eventually back into health. Why does it end there, in health just as your soul prospers? Why does it emphasize on health? Because health tells us the outward side of health, my flesh, my body, tells me and tells the world what's going on inside. Eventually, when everything is right inside, it has to be right outwardly. But of course we've got it all round the wrong way. We want it all right outwardly and we're not so bothered about what's going wrong inwardly. And that's the world that lives like today. And so you can see these people and megastars and had all this work done on them and Botox and facelifts and designer labels, you name the lot. You look at them, but you look what's inside them. You look what comes out of the eyes, out of the mouth, and you'll realize even though it looks superb outwardly, inwardly it's defiled. It's unclean. It doesn't take long. Got it all round the wrong way. See how the devil counterfeits it, twists it? Well, God does it differently with us. He starts first inwardly, because that hurts. That's getting the root out. It's no good patching over cancer, which medical science sometimes just does. You have to get the root out as it spreads, period. God is getting that spiritual root of disease, what sin has done, what we have sown to in the past. He's getting the roots out. And it's painful. I know as a gardener at times, when you're gardening, you know, you've had a hard time graft and you're digging away there and it's a hot day and you think, I've got to get this root out. It's no good because if I don't get it out, it's going to spring up again. And you're digging, you're digging, you think, how deep does this go? Do you know, some roots in gardening, like roots go terribly deep. And they're only weeds. I'm not talking about getting roots of an apple tree. I'm just talking about getting weeds out. They can go very deep. So it's the same spiritually what God is doing with us. So the question is, now I've just opened up with that, does everyone wish, desire to prosper? To live spiritually, maturing and prospering? Because that's ultimately the work that God's doing, and it has to be a desire, it has to be a want. Because it's not always going to be how we want it. Let's turn to Psalm 122 and verse 6. Psalm 122 and verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. And it goes on, because of the house of the Lord. So we can take that over spiritually today. Because of the house of the Lord, God wants us to prosper. He wants us in our fellowship, in our gathering together, to be at peace, to prosper, to be in harmony and unity and oneness. which God was constantly trying to work with the children of Israel. And this is why at many times we have our problems, and it seems as though at times it's the enemy that seems to prosper. The enemy seems to have the upper hand. Sometimes it appears outwardly for a season, he does. And so for us to prosper, God eventually is going to deal with the one that's hindering our prosperity. But until then, we hold on. We overcome. We stay with it. Because you see, the powers of darkness are trying to stop the sons of God from coming forth. Because the sons of God coming forth set in motion the release of groaning creation, Romans 8. Little wonder the enemy is trying to stop this work, this birthing, because it starts to set in motion outwardly, visibly, God's peace and prosperity in motion. He can't have that. Because that peace, prosperity, defeats the enemy, the Antichrist. So we can see why he's attacking like he is. Let's turn to Psalm 10, verses 4 and 5. We're just looking at this peace, prosperity. Psalm 10, verses 4 and 5. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. And it's so it goes on. So there with the wicked, it says they're proud, and they're always thinking in their ways that they are prospering, because they are doing it. They are conniving, they are deceiving, cheating, and so on. That's their understanding of prospering. And did you know that the enemy can prosper one? Did you know that some of the wealthiest people on planet Earth, whose fortune, you can't even begin to count it, but I wonder who has actually given that power in which to prosper? I wonder. But they don't see that. They don't see that. They see that they deserve it. They've worked hard for it, and so on. No, the enemy can make one prosper. You see, turn with me to Joshua. Hallelujah. Right, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This is what God said to him as he now, with a new generation, moving forth in which to take the land. And he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. And he goes on, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid, not to be dismayed, because the Lord is with you. So this is what God said to Joshua. And so God blessed Joshua's ministry, and as a result, his ministry blessed many others. And this is often how God will do it. You see, God, when God is behind ministry that is called of the Lord and anointed, God is causing that ministry to prosper in order that the saints of God, they too prosper. That they feed And I'm encouraged from that. They're also one of the signs of ministry being called by God. I'm not talking about that they walk, that they live in the biggest house and that they drive a Rolls or whatever it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spiritual side, what comes from the fivefold ministry, what God has blessed, what God has placed upon that ministry, that because they prosper, that they walk with God, so others are encouraged and fed by that as well. That is the way God does it. As well as you prosper. And so Joshua, God said, you are going to prosper. And God prospered him in order that the children of Israel would prosper by that ministry. Ultimately, that should be the aim. Because the fivefold ministry is to mature, to perfect, to bring the church into maturity, into function, into ministry, into unity and oneness. Now, if there isn't blessing and prosperity upon those ministries, I don't think it's going to achieve that. Do you? It can be almost common sense. So that's the way God works this. It's wonderful to note that prosperity is going to continue right the way through, right into the millennial reign. When Jesus visibly comes to rule and reign upon the earth, then you will visibly see true prosperity, true health, peace, unity, oneness, fellowship. That will be ultimately then restored. So we're in the times of being restored now. And God is going to bring Israel back. Yes, she's going to be purged and judged. But he's bringing her back in which she should prosper. It is always God's decree, what he has purposed, that his people should prosper. And because they prosper in nature, that is why the world is against them. Doesn't like them. The Arabs are against them. Because they see that God's hand and blessing is upon Israel. And what does it stir up? Jealousy. Because they think they're the elder from Ishmael. They're the elder of the seed of Abraham. We should be blessed. We're the elder. That's what eats into them. But we know God works differently. God says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll call whom I call. Who are you to tell me? So what you're seeing outwardly, so much today now, sadly, through Islam, is a form of rebellion. They can't accept what God decrees. They should be blessed. Of course the Arabs should be blessed. They're of the seed of Abraham. But they are rejecting that blessing. Because they cannot accept that Israel, anciently under Old Covenant, was to be the elder. Spiritually. Through Isaac. And this is most of your turmoil today. And every time, even Christians, we can't accept God's ways and what he decrees, that is a sign of rebellion. We rebel. Which rebellion actually says, Lord, you've got it wrong, and I don't agree with what you have done. And God will say, who are you to tell me? But you know, there are many ways in which one prospers. I've already been touching on this as a Christian. The spiritual meat of the word is prosperity, is blessing. Not all want to receive of it. Some just want to pick at it. But we're shown, aren't we, in Hebrews 6, that the meat of the word matures you into sonship. Yet there are Christians who just refuse to grow up and still want the milk of the word.
That's right.
But you see, the milk of the word will not bring them into true prosperity and blessing. It can't do it. You see, the milk of the word is when you are young and everything is developing, growing within you, and it's the right diet. But it's insufficient as you start to develop and grow. You have got to have a different food that will start to be able to suffice, that will start to be able to feed, to neutralize the body as it develops and grows. Milk is not enough for that, you see. And so you take that over to the spiritual. And so the meat of the word is that we might mature and be blessed and prosper. That is its whole reason and purpose. So the meat of the word is prosperity. Why? Because it's based on faith. And faith is obedience. And that's what pleases God. Without faith, you can't obey God. Because you have to be in faith to believe that God will work obedience in you. And the only ones that are in faith for that are the ones when they acknowledge that it can't be done in the natural, because I'm too rebellious. But you see, rebellion has to be dealt with. Because the Bible says the rebellious will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So God has to bring that into conformity. And the only way that's done is to acknowledge the fact. And so by walking by faith, it will deal with all these areas, whether it be in personality and character, or whether it be your background, what you come from, whatever. Our faith, believing the promises of God, will eventually deal with those areas of weakness in our life. Has to. As God goes against faith. And God has decreed it. It's a gift given to you and I. And the way you nurture that faith, the way that faith matures, develops and grows, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, by hearing the word of God. There's no other way. There's nothing you can do with faith. You can't make faith do something that it's not capable of doing unless God has decreed it. Every step of faith, God first has to decree it. It has to be in God's perfect plan. So when you break through in areas of faith, and it's like it drops in the head to your heart, God's purposed that. He decreed it. And what he has decreed for faith to work is that you listen to the word of God. You take it into the heart. That's all he's asked you and I to do, and he will do the rest. And it just simply takes obedience. But there are some Christians who just don't want to listen to him. They just want to listen for a while, and oh, that's enough, I want to go listen to something else. And so you see, as we listen to the word of God, and we're obedient in taking and listening to it, taking it into our hearts, then God will bless that we prosper. Because our walk of faith causes us to prosper. You see? Sometimes we're trying to get faith to believe. We're trying to believe. We're trying to get the word into our hearts. I've got to listen. I've got to put this tape on 10 times today. Well, I don't know what you would have done in the olden days when they didn't have tapes, when they didn't have all these books, and yet my Bible tells me the church in that ancient times turned the world upside down. No, they had simply done what God said. Listen to the word. But for some, that's not enough. For some, no. You know, I've got to listen to every jot and tittle. I've got to listen to every syllable, everything. I can't let anything go. I've known some, even in the body here, who are like that. They're not at rest. They're under bondage. And little wonder, little faith comes from them. It didn't take me long to realize that with all these books and tapes, and I praise God for it, I'm not against it, we're blessed. But I soon thought to myself, well, you know, the early church didn't have any of this. Most of them were illiterate. They couldn't actually read. All right. Look what happened. Because their minds were uncluttered. Do you know what all the cluttering is? When you're trying to do it. You're trying to listen to this and listen to that. And if I don't listen to this tape 100 times, I won't get healed. Now, I'm not saying that you don't listen to the Word of God. So hear me for what I'm saying. But you see, if you're in faith, faith is a rest. And faith doesn't have to strive. Faith simply relies on the fact God will feed me with His Word. He will do it. And I don't have to strive at it. I don't have to work at it. Because then, if I do, I can't really hear it that gives me faith. And that's why a lot have never broken through. Because they strive at the Word. Now, this is coming out for a reason. I didn't rehearse this before, but God knows. It is resting that our Father will feed us. Because He loves us. And it comes right back to that love covenant relationship. I'm just not sure God loves me. God says, I will feed you with my word. I will give you the meat of my word. You see, a babe, a child, is fed by mother. And the mother knows the signs of when that child needs that milk. And even when the babe is weaned off the breast and starts to take the solids, mother still has that intuitive sensitivity of knowing when the child needs feeding. I'll take it even a step further. Mothers even know when the family needs feeding. And she knows the time to get the meal on, and when they all get in, and then they all sit round the table. I mean, that's what we like to think. Everybody sits round the table and have a meal. You know? It's just her function, her way of thinking. It's her nature. It's how she is. You see? That's not in a man the same as it is in a woman. And so, if you look at that, how much more with our Heavenly Father? How much more? You know? Sometimes you think, oh, I haven't really heard the word this week. And, you know, I've been sort of busy, or I don't know, I just haven't got the word in. Well, God hasn't made a mistake. Hasn't made a mistake. In other words, we're not in bondage. The Lord is saying, are you living what you already have received? Are you appreciating what you are receiving? Have you prayed about certain things that I spoke to you through my word that I wanted you to go away and talk out with me? You see? That'll keep you occupied. That'll keep you moving, walking with God, and so on. You know, I used to have my bookshelves filled with theology books. Over half of them have gone. And I'm pretty sure most of the rest are to go. I am finding God is saying to me, I don't need anything else except this.
Amen.
The Bible. The Word of God. And probably a dictionary. And just one or two other books. Deeper Life in the Spirit, that is a blessing. I never tire of that. But many of the books I have, many of them, I never use them. How many of you are still going to all your books and getting them out and religiously reading them week after week? You're not, are you? So what is God saying? He's restoring us back into just trusting that He feeds us. And I have no need of anything else. Hallelujah. Now, if that isn't prosperity and prospering, I do not know what is. Hallelujah. Now this spiritual meat of the word, which is not only for us to prosper and be in health and faith and obedience, but it also works our consecration, our discipleship, our prayer life, our commitment, Our commitment to the body, it does it all. It's the whole package, all in one. Not like if you go to medical science. And if you've got heart trouble, then you've got to go to a heart specialist. If you've got broken bones, then you've got to go to someone who specializes in bones. If you've got an eye problem, you've got to go to someone who specializes in eyes. That's what it is today. It's the same in education. Some teach maths, some teach English, geography, and so on. They specialize in it. In the body of Christ, it's all one. Whatever you want to know, whatever God wants to talk on, major on, whatever it is, there God provides. Hallelujah. But for some believers, that still just isn't enough. So one has to raise the question, how are they drawing from this? Are they really listening? Are they really hearing? Because we know that most of our attacks that go on is in the mind. And the reason Satan attacks us in the mind, because he's trying to hinder how you receive, you hear the word of God. He gives himself away eventually, doesn't he? See? This is why there's so much schizophrenia around today. That is, those that hear voices. Those voices are there to try to trick you, to deceive you, to let you think that that is God speaking. This is why a lot of schizophrenia and those under who are sectioned even under the Mental Health Act, very often they think that that is God that's speaking to them. I can't tell you when I went and visited a patient once to a mental institute, or psychiatric, as they're really called. And yes, I had to go through several doors locked, and then go into another one, it was locked and so forth. And the first thing I remember, that there were people just walking around, and I am Caesar. I am Jesus. I am, you know, and they're walking around all upright, and some of them put a blanket on as though it was their robe, you know, and they're walking around. I mean, it was awful. And I thought, Lord, that's voices telling them that. They believe that, you know. See, the mind has been taken over. And this is what Satan tries to do. He tries to attack the mind, you see. And where you think, you know, when you think, it's like your thought realm. When you're under attack, it's like the thought realm, the thinking, the thought realm, it's like you're almost conversing with it, aren't you? You're talking with it. It's like things come up, and then it's like you're, in a sense, inwardly talking back to it. That's how it starts. Don't enter into talking back to your thoughts. You're entertaining it. Ignore it. It's simply thought realm. It's not real. That's what you have to say to yourself. Sometimes when I've been under attack in the mind, okay, I'm under attack, but what is going on here in the thought realm is not real. The word of God is real. And do you know, sometimes it just suddenly breaks. It just breaks. Because that's trying to get you to converse and talk, because that is where the enemy works, through the thought realm. See? We know this one very well, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look what we have in Christ. Look what Christ has done for the believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. 18 to 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let no one deceive himself. I've just been talking about it. That's why the enemy attacks the mind, the thought realm, to deceive oneself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. That's why the overcomers are coming to rule and reign, because all is yours. Now, if that is not true scriptural prosperity, then I don't know what is. Yes, we're in the wings waiting at the moment, and it seems hard and arduous. It just seems, oh, how long, Lord? But he says, don't let anyone boast in men. You don't need to boast in man, his achievements, what he's done. And even if God blesses you, whether he blesses you materially or whatever it would be, you don't boast in any of that. In other words, you don't use it. Oh, look, this is God's blessing on my life. I'm prospering. Shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that. Let it speak for itself. God's blessing. For all things are yours. That's what he says. And then he opens up to say, what is all yours? Paul, Apollos, Cephas. In other words, the ministry that God has set into the church, that is yours. You are blessed by it. Or the world that you live in, okay, it's not in your dominion and power yet, but it's going to be. You can look around. You can go around in your car. You can travel abroad or whatever it is. And you can say it's not wrong. One day, God's putting that in my hands with Christ, Jesus. Or life, or death. So God's putting into our hands life and death. And where does it start? In the tongue. That's why the overcomers are going to walk out of death. Because the Bible says all men will die. But there'll be a group that won't die physically in the flesh. And that will be the overcomers. Why? Because all things have been put into their hands. One day they've woken up to it. They believe it. Life or death. Or things present. Things to come. Whatever's present now is yours. Whatever is to come is yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Why? Because what the Father has given to Christ, Christ has given to the church. It's all one. It can't be separated. And like the husband who shares with the wife, so the bride who's making herself ready, the bridegroom will share everything with his bride. That's what the nature of marriage is. That's why in marriage, everything you do together. It's wrong for the husband to say, why are you spending my money? That is wrong. It should be our money. You see, you can't build trust on that. Everything in a marriage you share equally together. As well as in your responsibilities, the upbringing of your children, the responsibilities in the house, provision, whatever, it is all shared together. Not one partner living independent to the wife or the husband or whatever. You can't build trust, respect, true love on that. Jesus has willingly not only divested himself, has also been raised, sits now at the right hand of the Father, but he has also said, I will share my kingdom, my glory, I will share this with you. The only thing I will not share with you is the Father's glory, because all of that will be handed back. But everything you want, you have, is in me, in Christ Jesus. and I will share everything with you. I won't hold anything back, and he won't, and he's not. To them that believe, who desire to go on with the Lord. You see, the wisdom of the world will never understand this Christian prosperity, because it's always based from self, from a wrong angle, a wrong motive. It is what I have built. It is my achievements. You see, this is why the Kingdom Faith Dominion teaching can never prosper. It's not a true scriptural sonship message, because it believes that as the sons, the church develops, matures, so Satan is releasing his hold. That's their deliverance. So as we're growing up and maturing, so I'm getting delivered, that means then that Satan has no longer any hold on me and on the church, and finally Christ will manifest that way. Unscriptural, but there are many believe that. Many believe that. Many of your cults, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, all false visions and revelations were giving, that Christ was to return at a certain time. You know, and then when he didn't turn, he said, well, he just appeared first spiritually. That's what they say. Any excuse, try and justify. But you've got followers today who have swallowed that. That's why when you meet these Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witness, you refer them back to some of these false prophecies. Don't like that. Don't like it. Plus, you discern and test it by the Spirit, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's the other thing they don't like. You see, prosperity is not based on what you want. And some believe that that is prosperity. Prosperity for us in the flesh at the moment is based on what is needed. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he will give you your needs. But I found even with that, God blesses you with extras. He blesses you with the desires of your heart that he knows that's just inside there, and just those secret desires and whatever. And then you find in time the Father even blesses you there as well. And you sort of say, well, Lord, how did you know that? Well, of course he knows. He knows everything. You know? Sometimes you go out and you say, I've been looking for years for this, and there it is. Praise the Lord. That's a little extras, because he knew that's what you wanted. You see? Hallelujah. But you know, you've got some believers that believe that poverty gives God more glory. And that is so sad. Your religions, your cults, denominationalism is based on all of that. You know, the way into the kingdom is poverty. Denying yourself. Well, that is not scriptural, because Jesus said it's the denial of the self life. Not self-denial. We've got Lent coming up, I believe. So, of course, in Lent, you have to give up something. So some might give up drinking just for a season, even though they're lusting after it in their hearts. But after Lent's finished, they're back to it. Totally wrong. Totally wrong. Some are, at the moment, denying a few things because we're going through hardship at the moment, and you know, things are a bit tight, so we'll give up on this and this, you know, because we'll have more money at the end of the month. That's not it. They're still lusting after it in their hearts. No, the true denial is the denial of the self-life. It's you willingly surrendering your self-life up to Christ. Willingly. That is what he looks for. That is what discipleship is. You know, do you want to see your brother and sister prosper? Do you want to see them in health? Do you want to see them overcome? Do you want to see them make it into the kingdom of God? Because if we've got that heart, and that I believe is the heartbeat of God, we're going to find ourselves praying interceding, standing in the gap for one another. You know, a church that prays, that understands prayer, is a church that is based in love and unity and fellowship and oneness, because it's praying, believing, wanting the best for my brother and sister that is going through a deep trial. That has to be the motive. Can't be anything else. God will never answer any other prayer. If there's a secret desire thinking, well, I'm glad they're actually going through that because, you know, they've been nothing but trouble. Nothing, you know, it's been hard going with that brother. And secretly down, you know, I'm glad that God's giving them a taste of their own medicine at long last. God can never answer a prayer like that. The question is that person you're feeling like that toward, the question is, will they make it into the kingdom of God? And your very prayers, intercessions, will save them from such an experience. That again is prosperity. You know, our prosperity, and I've said this before, is not to walk independent of God. This is why, you see, prosperity comes at stages. God doesn't give it too quickly because he knows human nature. That if he gave it all at once, you wouldn't be reliant upon God anymore. You'd be off doing your own thing. Independent. So God has a way of still making us dependent upon him. Even, yes, we're prospering. That's why it is in stages. And God knows the right time in which to bless, in which to manifest, and so on. You see, prosperity is that God will be glorified at the end. And that's why we believe in it. It's not about ourselves. It's the fact that God will be glorified in this. Because he desires that we prosper. Because by prospering, exalts, lifts him up, magnifies his name, lets the world see that he's not that meanie that the world likes to portray him as. Well, if he's a God of love, why does he allow this and why does he do this and so forth? That's all you ever hear about God. But you see, as you prosper and flourish and blossom in wholeness, in mind, body, spirit, that starts to annul. It starts to put out that poison that the world out there tries to portray God as. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you again today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for working on our mind, our thinking, our thought pattern, dispersing, casting down those wrong thoughts, imaginations, those voices that try to suggest and speak to the mind, the thought realm. Father, I thank you today for the deliverance in this word. Why? Because it glorifies you. And that we might come forth purified as gold. So Lord, I thank you for today, for our fellowship, our coming together in unity, oneness. And Father, I pray you'll be with us, preserve us and keep us till we assemble again. Thank you for our brothers and sisters who have joined us today in the room. Be with them also. Give your angels charge over them until we assemble again, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus is.